This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. So Kyle's with us. Class, I just had an exercise in frustration. During the break, I mentioned that I was going to be calling and ordering some bearings for an older tractor. And 1974 Ford 3000 front wheel bearings. And I was going to get two sets. And so I found them on the internet. $16.50 each wheel. That's inner and outer wheel bearing sets, bearings and races, and the wheel seal. $16.50, $11.95 shipping. And they said you can order it by calling this number. So I called the number, had the part number, and the automated attendant says, if you know your part number, press this. If you don't know your part number, press that. So I had the part number, so I pressed the corresponding digit on the phone for knowing the part number. I got transferred to this gal, and she said, "Do you know your part number?" I said, "Yeah, I do," and gave her my name, and I was ready to place the order, and she said, "Okay, it's $11.50. I'm sorry, $16.50. I said, "Great, I'd like two of those, please." She said, "No problem." And I said, "How does tax work?" And she said, "Well, I'll have to send you this form if you fill out the form." And I said, "Okay, how about shipping?" She said, "It's $20. I said, "Well, it's $11.95 on your website." Well, she said, "Yeah, but that's if you order from the website. If you order through me, it's about $20. I said, "I don't want to pay $20 in shipping. I'd rather pay the $11.95. She said, "Well, you have to order it online." I said, "Okay, great. How do I do the taxes?" And she said, "Well, you have to do that with me. So I have to buy it from her because it's for the farm." And I said, "So I have to buy it with $20 shipping instead of $11.95 shipping because I'm tax exempt." And she said, "Yeah, but it's only $2 it's only $2 worth of tax." And I said, "But I don't want to pay $2 worth of extra in tax that I don't have to pay because the government's just going to waste it. So here I am. I'm frustrated because I have to pay more to be tax exempt." Now, by the way, this is something that just happened. January 1, Missouri, I guess, informed the other states that y'all best be charging tax and send it over to Missouri for purchases that were online. Didn't used to be like that, like last year. Joe. And really, so now if you buy something on eBay, Amazon, and it's, over the internet, you have to pay sales tax even though you're buying it from another state. That didn't used to be the case, but it is now. And I don't like it. So now I have to fill out all these tax forms to just maintain our tax-free or tax-exempt status for buying things for the farm. Now, frankly, I would not need wheel bearings for a tractor if I didn't have a farm. Because if I didn't have a farm, I wouldn't have this tractor. It's as simple as that. It's getting more and more and more complicated. And I don't like it. So I just wanted to share with you that I'm going to fill out the forms and do it online because I absolutely, positively refuse to pay sales tax for something that I am tax exempt for because of the farm. Kyle, any comments about this? Are you banging into any of this?
No, Vince. I'm running into things similar to this, but not with the state tax, because they keep the Democrats in this state keep trying to get a sales tax in here, and Montanans are just fighting it tooth and nail, and so far we've kept it out of our state. There was only one proposal for a state state sales tax in our state that I was willing to support, and that would where they were going to eliminate property taxes completely and put in a sales tax. And I would have went for that because we would really be the only state in the union then where the people completely own their property, you know, instead of renting it from the government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway,
I'm with you.
That didn't fly. So they didn't pass it because everybody in the state is so they're scared to death of sales tax. But the guy that put this forward, if people would have read it, was actually a really good idea. It would have required in the law that the people had to go to a vote of the people before the state sales tax would have been able to be increased, and it would have had to have a 70% majority of people before it could have been done. And to me, that sounded like a really good idea, you know. But anyway, that was the only one I would have supported. But, yeah, I get you as far as, you know, trying to order something online and getting a different price compared to what you can get it for in the store. And it's very few places that I've ran into that will just say, well, we'll match what's online, you know. But I have found a few here that will match it, and so that worked out pretty good in a few cases for me.
Since we're on this tangent of sales tax, we have a tire shop here at the Forum. And so we're not a big tire shop, just a small tire shop. And when customers buy tires, there is a federal tax, there's a state tax, there's a state tire disposal fee, and then there's a sales tax. Now, here's the interesting thing. There's no tax on labor. So when we mount and balance a tire, that is all labor, okay? Not taxable. However, the weights that are used for the balancing of a tire are materials that are taxable. And it's a real nuisance to figure out the sales tax on the weights, the no sales tax on the labor, the federal tax on the tire, the state tax on the tire, and the tire disposal fee. That's a lot of little fees. So what we do is we pay sales tax when we buy the weights. We've already paid the sales tax on them. So we don't have to enter that into the equation of what the tire mounting, balancing, valve stem, and weights sell for. It's a nuisance. It's an absolute nuisance. But and what is this tire disposal fee? We end up with this used tires. When someone buys tires, they don't say, just throw those old ones in the back of the truck. I'll be glad to take them out of here. Uh-uh. We end up with them. So the state gets paid a fee, like a dollar a tire, and they call it a disposal fee, and then we end up with the tires. What a racket. It's almost like the Federal Reserve. What a racket. Creating something out of thin air you don't have to worry about. That's what the government in the state of Missouri does. Okay, so here's an interesting thing. So you want to rinse off, I believe. My protocol is rinse off the battery top, the battery terminals, the battery box, the battery case, the battery shelf, and the bolts, that the hold-down bolts. And I even put a couple drops of oil on the threads of the hold-down bolts so they don't corrode. That's what I do. Now, when you have cold weather, cars generally don't like starting anyway. So the current demand from the battery is the greatest when the weather's really, really cold, and that's when the battery has the least ability to provide current. So it's a double whammy that we were talking about, hour number one. Some people, you've heard them in the parking lots, they try to start the cars. Okay. If you take it to that point where it won't turn over the engine anymore, that battery's dead. and that battery will freeze in cold temperatures. So the likelihood of trying to start a cold engine is harder. I mean, the likelihood of running that battery down when it's cold is greatest. And the damage that will occur to a dead battery is the greatest in cold weather. If it's below freezing, the electrolyte will freeze, the plates will buckle, and we're talking about lead plates inside the battery box itself, they will buckle and crack and deform, and the battery will be junk. No good. No good, not fixable. So what does a battery cost? Well, I looked it up. Kyle, I am stunned at the current price. I looked up a Group 27. So, class, if you want to look up batteries, the physical dimensions, the length, width, height, it's called you can go to the Internet and type in Automotive Battery Group, G-R-O-U-P, chart. And look at the images, and you'll see charts that have the length, width, height, dimensions of the battery. So you might find that your battery tray is a little larger than the battery that's in there. Meaning, maybe there was an optional battery that could be purchased at the time the vehicle was new. Like if you bought the towing package for a truck, maybe they put the next larger size battery in there. And I suggest you consider putting the largest battery that you can fit in that battery tray. Length, width, height. And you probably will be way better off in the long run if you do that. Well, Kyle does it. We do it. But not very many other people do it. But you go to that group chart on the Internet. But here's what I found out. I looked up the price of a Group 27. We have a Dodge 1999 diesel truck. Three-quarter ton. $209.99 for the battery. So $210. Takes two of them. That's $420 for two batteries. That's without the tax. With the tax, $453.60 to change out the batteries in a 1999 Dodge 5.9-liter Cummins turbo diesel. Kyle, that's incredibly expensive in my world. $453.60?
You know, Vince, I remember times when you used to be able to buy a big group 27 like that for like $59, $69 many years ago. I can't fathom that we don't produce lead anymore, you know. It's so sad. But anyway, I was just curious how many cold cranking amps were those batteries? Did you get the biggest ones you could get?
Yeah, we do. We do. So that particular size in a Duralast, that would be Duralast Gold, that would be AutoZone's top of the line. Group 27 is 810 cold cranking amps, 810.
Yeah, because if it gets really cold, then diesels are even harder to start because you're pulling on the glow plugs to get it fired up to start with. So, yeah, and that's why they require two batteries. Most people might not know that, but everything, unless you pull heavy loads, folks, in my opinion, unless you pull very heavy loads, like with trailers like Vince does, and you have a farm, the diesel trucks, just to run around town and go up and down the highway back and forth to work, to do that, they will outlast a gas engine, but the repairs on the diesel are, if you can't do them yourself, they are so much more expensive.
Absolutely right.
You can replace an engine.
Tehama Club's original Pure Bounty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kyle's with us. And we've been talking about automotive batteries. And why don't we flesh out the rest of this and until we get to the bottom of the hour, and then we'll switch over to AC overvoltage and undervoltage. Kyle, we mentioned that if you discharge a battery by cranking to the point where the battery will not turn the starter over any or the engine over anymore, and you've killed the battery and it's freezing cold, there are only a couple options if you want to save that battery. Because if it was cranking, the battery had some life in it. But if you keep cranking until the battery's dead, it will freeze in cold weather, below 32 degrees, and it will become ruined, irreparably ruined. So then you have only a couple options. Well, three. One is you can immediately find a car, if it's cold weather, immediately find another car and try jumping it to start it. That's one thing. Another thing is you can use the jumper cables from another car and put a charge back in that battery so that it won't freeze to death and break. Another thing you can do is put a battery charger, you know, plugged into a household outlet, maybe with an extension cord, and put a charge on that battery so it won't freeze. So if you bring up the charge level, it won't freeze. The other thing you can do is take the battery out of the vehicle and bring it inside, you know, put it in your garage or something like that where it's not freezing cold. You know, if you have an inside garage. If you have an outside, you know, a freestanding garage, the garage is going to be about the same temperature as the outside air, so it might freeze. So if you keep it from freezing, you're keeping your battery from being destroyed by the cold weather. Any comments about that, Kyle?
You're absolutely right. I will tell you this, if you run your battery down like that and crank it to where the starter is grinding, basically where it barely is making it turn over, that's just the real recipe for disaster. Your starter will not stand up to much of that till it just won't. You'll burn your starter up as well. So, yeah, I agree, Vince. In fact, this is kind of funny that you mentioned that, because in the wintertime, I keep a 10-amp battery charger in my plow truck, and it just sits on the seat right beside me because there's three vehicles out there, and if one of them doesn't start for some reason, I keep an extension cord rolled up right out there that's plugged in all the time. And if one of them, if we get 30 below zero and it wouldn't start for any reason, I go out there, I lift the hood, and I throw that battery charger on those batteries with a 10-amp charge on it right away. I mean, almost within a couple of minutes. But anyway, I do exactly the same thing.
So I looked up, and I was in sticker shock with the price of a Group 27 until I looked up the price of an AutoZone battery for my old 1996 Mercedes diesel. That takes a Group H8, H and the number 8. That's $240. I can't believe it. Thankfully, it only takes one, but $240? Seriously, class, when I was selling auto parts back in the 1970s, early 70s, you could buy a name brand battery for $29.95. For sure. And now we're looking at, roughly 8-9 times the price. Okay, so we've taught you a little bit about how to keep your batteries from freezing to death and breaking. Kyle, what would be, if you were looking for a good value in a battery charger, a general purpose battery charger for most of our class, what would you be looking for? Would you be looking for a new one? Would you be looking for a used one? I'm talking about one that'll do everything, okay? 12-volt batteries. And by the way, class, if you have a new car, your battery has to be in top performance condition, because your transmission won't shift right. If your battery is middle-aged, let's say, and starting to lose its current carrying capacity, voltage, amperage, your transmission won't shift right. Your car won't act right. You need a top-quality battery in a new vehicle, and that they don't tell you that. They don't tell you every 2 years you're going to have to get a new battery just to keep that new car working. Do you have a recommendation for a general purpose?
I like the Schumacher one that'll do 2 amps, 10 amps, or a 50 amp boost. That's what I have 3 of them.
Schumacher, S-C-H-U-M-A-C-H-E-R, I believe is how they spell it. 2 amps, 10 amps, and a 50 amp boost for a quick charge. But
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA News Update. Florida Republican Representative Greg Stube was transported to a hospital Wednesday afternoon after he fell off a roof in Sarasota, Florida. The report indicated Congressman Stube was involved in an accident on his property late Wednesday afternoon and sustained several injuries. 11 storms in California in recent weeks could have ended the drought in the Golden State, but politicians never took the time to increase their water collection capabilities.
We do everything we can to get rid of literally the most precious resource we have, water.
Los Angeles Waterkeeper Executive Director Bruce Resnick on NBC News says because of this, the drought will continue to hinder the California region. 65-year-old actor Julian Sands has disappeared after hiking up Southern California's Mount Baldy last weekend. San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department announced a call for help came in from his family. Still, no word. Lance Pry, USA News.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming?
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Watch it.
I know there's something happening.
It's gonna be sliding.
But I know when are today's hot.
Why today I've got your
take my
when you go
to for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
You know, class, you have to go pretty far and look really hard to find a commercial that is more well-written, produced, and designed than that We Want Pizza Tonight commercial with the children. And that, I mentioned this week, that commercial has the voice of Ron Allen. I'm pretty sure he wrote it and produced the whole thing. We Want Pizza Tonight. And he was on the air. He's a USA Prepares instructor. And he is the voice, the announcer of, you know, USA Prepares, the rejoiners, the opening and the closing of this broadcast. And has been for years and years and years. I liked it so well that I haven't changed it. And one day, Kyle called in, and Ron Allen was teaching us about the anatomy of commercials. And Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a question, something really bothered you, and that was, why, and I'm paraphrasing, why is it that commercials show the father of the household as an imbecile, you know, a bumbling fool in the media? What's wrong with showing dad as a, you know, a guy who actually is in charge of the household, makes decisions, and provides? I mean, what happened to that? Why is dad a fool, or shown as a fool? And Ron Allen said, Kyle, some men identify with that imbecile, right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said. And I personally, I mean, I've seen it a few times anymore with this younger generation that they just don't seem to have a clue. But I guess I can't hardly wrap my mind around a life like that, Vince, because, you know, I'm kind of an alpha male, and I don't put up with stuff like that. I make decisions. I deal with things as they come up, and I just don't get people or men in particular that don't know what to do and how to do it and don't even want to know. That's the part that blows my mind. But anyway, I guess so.
I'd be embarrassed. I'd
be beyond embarrassed, you know.
You know, if Mrs. Finelli asked me, hey, Vin, do you know how to, and I did something like, I don't know. We'll have to call somebody. First of all, it doesn't happen, and I'd be embarrassed if it did. Worst case is I'll say, you know what, give me a couple seconds or give me a few minutes, I will have that answer. Or if she asks me something or I have to plan something out and I don't have it fully fleshed out in my mind, what I say is, I'm going to think about it while I'm sleeping. I'll have an answer in the morning. I mean, if it's complicated or a lot of moving pieces to it, I'll have the answer probably the next morning. But it might be something that's so complicated, I could come up with something right then and there. But I don't think sometimes it wouldn't be the ideal solution. And I'm allergic. I was telling a guy a couple days ago, I met him at the farm, and we were talking at a distance, and I said, you know, I'm allergic to making mistakes. Well, I'll tell you what it was. Lou Cassidy's generator. Guy dropped off Lou Cassidy's generator, and I wanted to make sure it worked well because I was the middle guy and just receiving the generator from out of state, and Lou Cassidy's going to pick it up tomorrow. But the last thing I wanted to do is not have it work for Lou Cassidy. So I told this guy, I said, look, I just want you to know, I'm allergic to making mistakes. He kind of smiled, but I am allergic to making mistakes.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Kyle, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned 50 amps. You have a 2, a 10, and a 50-amp Schumacher automotive battery charger. So just to flesh this out a little bit more, class, 2 amps is the lowest setting of this particular selector switch on Kyle's battery charger. And 10 amps would be, let's say you want to get it charged in a night. So 10 amperes, if it's a 100 ampere hour battery, and we're not talking about cold cranking amps, and we're not talking about cranking amps, we're talking about amps. And a Group 27, a large battery like the one that goes in our Dodge Cummins turbo diesel, that's about 100 amps. So if you were to charge it and everything were perfect and you had 100% efficiency, at 10 ampere hours of charge, it would take 10 hours to charge that battery. Okay, at 2 amps, it would take 50 hours. Okay, it's simple multiplication. All right, so then there's a 50 amp, which is, Kyle mentioned, as a boost. So if you have one of those situations where you have almost enough current to start the vehicle, you put it into boost mode. But you don't charge it in boost mode. That's only why you're trying to turn it over. Because if you charge your battery at 50 ampere hours, you know, a quick charge, it'll permanently damage the battery. It will not be able to receive the full amount of charge from then on. It will actually damage the battery by the excessive amount of current. And we have one that has wheels, you know, the kind you see it at a shop, battery charger on wheels, a big box with, you know, two wheels and a handle and cables. That has, you know, 200 amps. And I'll tell you what, even though that switch says 200, I don't like doing it. And it takes two people for us to go to a 200 amp start. And what that means is one person, our son might be in the vehicle, and I might be under the hood, hooking up those terminals, and then the battery charger is set to off, and our son has got his fingers on the ignition key, and he's ready to turn it over the very second, or the second after, I switch it to 200 amps. You do not want to let that thing run at those high rates of charge, 50, 100, 200 amps. You don't want to do it unless it's an emergency. Kyle, any quick comments?
Yeah, I do, because I will tell you, I don't even like using that 50-amp charge for very long. If I can hook up another vehicle to it and jump it with a vehicle, I will do that rather than use the 50-amp charge on that little charger. Now, I have it, and the reason I have the smaller one is because it only weighs about 5 pounds, and you can tote it around wherever you need to go. You know, I have a 200-amp one that is a handheld. It's not on a cart or anything, but that thing weighs probably 25 pounds. It's a heavy-duty charger, and I almost never use it. In all the years, which has been close to 40 years, I've had those Schumacher 210 and 50-amp chargers. I bet I've used that 50-amp boost maybe 5 times. Maybe. I was sitting here trying to think about how many times over the years, and I can't remember more than 5 times that I've used that. So it's not something you use very often, but I love that 10-amp charge because you can leave it on there for, you know, if your battery's dead, you can leave it on there for 3 or 4 hours. And usually, if it's not extremely cold, my experience has been it'll usually fire the vehicle will fire right off. You know, with just in a few hours, even though it isn't fully charged. But then you can warm your truck up or car or whatever it is, and you'd be all right. Anyway, hey, speaking of Lou Cassidy, did you ever find out the multimeter there with the check, the capacitor check, that what he suggested?
No, give me a couple more minutes, and I'll get it after the next commercial.
Okay.
Let's go into the AC overvoltage and undervoltage. So here's what I've learned, class, and I've mentioned many times that in class that we are seeing a higher and higher voltage here at the farm on the grid. So I remember my dad used to use the number 110, you know, 110, 220, and what he's talking about is the electricity in our house when I was growing up. And it was 110 volts. It was. And that's why the previous generation called it 110. They did. Well, what happened was, let's say around, I'm thinking around 1900, 1890, the power generation stations were designed to run at 100 volts, 100 even. And they found out that the voltage drop between the power generation plant and the electrical receptacles in a home, the voltage drop was so significant that lights were dim. And we're talking about the early days of electricity, right? AC electricity being distributed throughout a city. The next thing was that the voltage needed to be boosted because of the transmission losses, the resistance in the power lines. So ultimately, it was boosted to 110 volts. No, I guess we're talking around 1910, 1920. The power companies ended up putting transformers on the poles right outside houses. So high voltage lines were running up and down the streets, and a power pole would be near a house, and a transformer, a round cylindrical transformer, would be on the power pole to reduce the voltage down to 110 volts. And there'd be a short 125-foot cable from the transformer to the side of the house, and into the fuse box of the house. That worked really well. Then what happened was the manufacturers or the customers started using more and more electricity, which was the reason for boosting the voltage to 110 volts. Then the manufacturers of devices, appliances, toasters, etc., vacuum cleaners, those started appearing in the marketplace, and they were consuming 110 volts. That was the design criteria for them. So as more and more electricity was being used, the voltage drop continued a little bit. So over time, the voltage was boosted by the power of the utility companies from 110, 111. I remember seeing 111, 112, 113, then 115. And then people started calling it 115 volt power. And then it went up to 117. And a lot of people remember 117. 110, 115, 117 were big numbers. I mean, those were popular stopping points along the AC voltage curve. Then 120. And then as more and more people are using more and more electricity, we have not had a sag in the amount of electricity people are using. They're using more and more and more every year. So the power companies have a choice. They can run more wire, larger gauge wire, meaning thicker wire, or they can increase the voltage to overcome the voltage drop through the transmission. And the voltage drop is caused by more and more people using electricity over the same power lines, the distribution lines. So our farmhouse typically runs 123.7. It's pretty darn high in my world. And it's beating up our equipment. And it hit as high as 135.7, which damaged our refrigerator and blew up some of our electronics. So I've been monitoring this. I've been using equipment that has indicator lights to tell me whether the voltage is low or very low, low, normal, high or very high. So at a glance, I can look at this bar graph in the kitchen, and I can see what's happening. And I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed at the voltage keeps it's fluctuating all day long, and it's real high overnight. It's high in the morning. It's high in the afternoon. But I can't program anything to compensate for it. It has to be done in real time with an automatic voltage regulating transformer. So why is this happening? Because people are using more electricity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Hey, I have that information about the capacitor tester. And Lou selected, he bought four different models. He uses these kinds of things in the design work that he does. So he says, and this is an email from Lou. It says, the Astro A1, A-S-T-R-O, the letter A and the number 1, the Astro A1, one word, Astro A1, T-M-R-S, space, D-E, dash, 1, or 10,000, 10,000, has absolutely gorgeous display, and it's 10,000 counts versus the 6,000 counts of the Astro TMRS 6,000. But the TMRS 6,000 is more handy to use. So either one of those will be fine. Astro, A-S-T-R-O, A-1, space TMRS space DE dash 10,000 or the TMRS 6,000. Either one of those, Lou likes them both. So, and you can get them on Amazon, you can get them on eBay. Okay, about going back to the AC overvoltage condition. So what's happening is this, the voltage has been increasing up and up and up. And here's where it gets really, really concerning to me. With all the electric vehicles that are being pushed onto the American public, they're going to require these massive charging stations for which we either will have to build out the infrastructure or increase the voltage of the existing infrastructure. Those are the only two options. So I think in the short run, we're going to see higher and higher voltages, which is going to damage more and more equipment, and I don't like it. That's one thing. We are using more and more electricity. There are more people. They want more things, more gadgets, leave their equipment on. They don't shut their TVs off. I mean, they don't do the equivalent of unplug the TVs. They just leave them running. You know, they hit that off button. It appears that they're off, but their computers are running. Their phones are being charged. They've got all these background devices that are using electricity. They've got the smart appliances, the dishwashers. They're all running, even though they're off. They all are consuming electricity, even though they're off. And then we have, you know, the conveniences of air conditioning. Put it all together, the electric cars, it's a mess. It's a mess in terms of power consumption. That's one portion. Now, the other portion is people like us who have solar panels, we can sell our excess electricity to the grid, and we do. So we generate our own when there's sun, and like right now, there's no sun. So, I mean, it's there, but it's overcast. There's no, we're not generating more than a penny or two or maybe 6 cents of electricity today. That's all we're generating. Bottom line is when it is sunny, we are selling electricity. But in order to sell the electricity, we have to push a higher voltage onto the grid than the grid already is. So let's say 123.7 volts. That's the grid voltage right this very second. If we're going to sell electricity, and Kyle and I talked about this on the phone, we're going to add another volt. So our system is going to add 1 volt. That'll make it 124.7. Now let's say our neighbor wants to sell electricity too. He's going to have to beat us and maybe add another volt, 125.7. And maybe his neighbor wants to sell too. Pretty soon, now these numbers are not exact, but what the bottom line is, you have to have a higher voltage to push electricity from a solar system onto the grid. And in California, they're doing that. They're recommending that y'all buy solar systems, grid-tied solar systems. Well, that goes back to Bert's situation where the voltage was 70 volts, 70, instead of 120. Well, I believe I know what happened. I believe that what happened was the grid failed. The grid went down. But all these solar systems were pushing electricity onto the grid. They weren't disconnected from the grid. They're still pushing electricity on the grid, but they couldn't do the job that the gas turbines and coal-fired and hydro and all the rest of it could do or produce, but it could produce 70 volts. And that's why he saw 70 volts. That's my belief. Kyle, your thoughts?
Well, like I told you last night, I think you're onto something with that, Vince. The thing that, you know, it's just, I think I've been considering this since we talked yesterday. And I think I have come up with where we're at. I think we're headed for a crisis of convenience because of all of this foolishness. And this convenience is going to be our downfall. It's been that way, you know, throughout history. What's the old saying? You know, tough men make great lives, and then great lives produce weak children, and then weak children produce tough times, and then you get tough men again. But I think that's where, I think we're headed for a crisis of convenience.
You know, that's very well said, Kyle. I mean, extremely brilliant and concise. Crisis of convenience. And here's the perfect example. And we talked about this in this hour of today's class. New vehicles have a lot of gadgets, a lot of computers, a lot of sensors. And all of them are dependent on constant voltage. Every single one of them requires a constant voltage from the battery. And if the battery's weak, the sensors don't work right. That is the convenience. The convenience is dependent on the battery, and the battery is not going to last forever. I think 2 years is about all you're going to get out of a new car battery. Kyle, very, very well said. Thank you so much. I'll see you in a couple
Jake
weeks.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.